Peter King here with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Peter, thank you for joining us. Great to have you here on the Dialpad guest line. Peter appears courtesy of Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Visit friedmansappliance.com today. Peter, thank you. What do you think of the timing of the Giants' decision to bench Eli?
I think it's probably about a year or two too late, really. But, you know, I've been an advocate of making this move ever since Ben McAdoo kind of ham-handedly did it when he was still coaching this team. You know, in New York, I guess you'd say, you know, heroes die hard. Heroes die hard everywhere. And I just think that Eli Manning, who has been a mediocre quarterback for 7 years, since he walked off the field beating the Patriots for the second time in the Super Bowl. You know, he's as wonderful a human being who has ever, that has ever played in the city of New York, in the area of New York. But, you know, the Giants have basically been, you know, have allowed him to survive, you know, on the basis of all of the great playoff games he played for this franchise, none of which have happened in the last 7 years. So, in my opinion, they gave him way, way, way too long a run after he beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl 7 years ago.
Is he a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like one of the reasons that I like there to be a sort of a cooling off period after a player's career, of, you know, the cooling off period of 5 years after a player retires, I think is important because it allows you to not make, you know, a sudden reaction. It's like after he won the second Super Bowl, everybody was saying, well, he's a lock for the Hall of Fame now. And I'm just not sure that he is a lock for the Hall of Fame. And I'm not sure he was one then either. And, you know, if you look at his regular season record, he's never been, I don't think in any year he has ever played in the NFL, has he been a top three quarterback. And part of going to the Hall of Fame is being a dominant player in your era. I think he was dominant in a couple of playoff runs. I don't think he was ever really a dominant quarterback in the NFL. So it's going to be, that's going to be a sticky one when that is considered, probably way past my time. But it's going to be a tough one. I think it'll be an emotional one, too, because those who believe in the power of Super Bowls, which, and again, I'm not trying to demean the importance of Super Bowls. It's the most important game on the calendar. I get it. But I don't think that if you are largely a good but not great regular season quarterback, I do not think two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs are a key to Canton, you know, automatically get you into Canton.
So I agree with you. We're probably about 2 years late to the demise of Eli, but any possibility that the Steelers, the Jets, or maybe Tom Coughlin's Jaguars would be interested in using him as a fill-in for their missing quarterbacks?
I wouldn't be shocked if there was some interest, but I get the strong impression that, for instance, in Pittsburgh, the Steelers really are interested in seeing what Mason Rudolph looks like. And who knows, 3 weeks from now, if Mason Rudolph is a colossal failure, maybe they go looking. But here's the one part of this issue. And I think everybody is saying, wow, could they trade Eli? And I don't mean this in an obnoxious way, but have you watched Eli Manning play football?
I have.
In the last 2 or 3 years?
Not good.
He's not good. And so he's a great guy, a great locker room guy. Everybody loves him. He's earnest. He works his rear end off. He's great. But he's a little bit, he reminds me a little bit like of the Alex Smith syndrome. Great guy, wonderful guy, you like him. And if he's on your team playing quarterback, you think it's okay. But you don't look at Alex Smith and say, man, I want him to be my quarterback for the next 15 years. And I think the issue now with Eli is if you've watched him play, and I did a graphic, or I did a stat last year in my column in which I looked since the day of the second Super Bowl against New England, I looked at the 7 years since then and all of the quarterbacks in the NFL who had played in that period of time. And Eli Manning, in by any statistical measure, it was either he or Joe Flacco. They were very close. Which one of those? There were 15 guys who had been consistent starters over that period of time, and they were 14 and 15. And, you know, after a while, you just say, boy, it'd be great to get a good veteran guy to come and lead our team. Well, he's got to play football, too. It's like, it'd be like acquiring a great hitter at age 39, but that great hitter has been hitting 190 for the last 2 years. I mean, do you really want him?
It feels like we're now talking about the San Francisco Giants. Let's go ahead and bring it back to the NFL here, Peter. The 49ers, you picked them as a playoff team, and here they are 2-0 and are just coming off the most complete football thought I think we've seen of the Kyle Shanahan era in Cincinnati. What'd you walk away from that game thinking?
You know, I talked to Shanahan after the game, and I asked him, you know, what he has thought of the first couple of weeks. And he said, you know, I'm just really happy that we have shown that we can win games in a variety of ways. And I think that even though they have lost, you know, their two prime running backs, and you know, again, like last year, they have to go with their backup running backs. I think that part of the offense has been really, really good. I think the other part of this team that you're finally seeing bear a little bit of fruit is the defensive front, which has been totally frustrating for the last 2 years. But I think in these first two games, not that they're playing great teams, but in these first two games, they've shown that that defensive front is finally paying off the investment that Lynch and Shanahan have made in.
I want to go back to Eli Manning for a second, only to ask this one question. Ben McAdoo lost his job because he demoted him, which in all football ways was defensible, and yet he's not going to get a sniff at another head coaching job. Is that because politics still matter more than football judgment when it comes to players of that stature?
Ray, I'm not sure he lost his job because of how he handled Eli. I think that was the last straw, but I don't think that's why he lost his job. I think that he was deemed to not really be in great control of his team. And I'm not sure at the end that ownership had any confidence in his ability to get the team back. Which, you know, hey, look, he's the only guy in the last 7 years to lead this team to the playoffs. So, you know, Ben McAdoo, and I've said this, Ben McAdoo was the adult in the room when it came to Eli Manning. And it's ridiculous that he got shouted down by Giant alums, Giant fans, talk show hosts, everything. It was just ridiculous because, honestly, he did the right thing, absolutely, unequivocally did the right thing. But I think at the end of the day, the Giants, I wouldn't feel that confident in Pat Shurmur's ability down the road either. This new quarterback has to play well this year, I think, for them to go into 2020 with the same brain trust atop the team.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Kyle Shanahan has been labeled a great play caller. What do the Niners have to do for anyone to pivot to him being a good coach? Head coach.
Give him some time when he's got a good quarterback and more of a complete defense than he's had. That's what he has right now. If at the end of this year if Jimmy Garoppolo plays 16 weeks and we get through this season and the 49ers are 6-10 or 7-9, then you have to really start asking yourself, do Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch know what they're doing? I don't think that's going to be the case. But again, you got to let the season play out. I think I've thought all along that Kyle Shanahan was the right guy for this job, particularly with a young, impressionable, malleable quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo. And I just think you got to let him have the season. It's like, you know, if you ask me right now about Cam Newton, as odd as this sounds, I say it's impossible to make a judgment on Cam Newton right now. You've got to let him play. The first year back from shoulder surgery is always a year of adjustment. You're not the same quarterback. You're not the same guy who's going to air it out just flippantly and be able to throw the ball around like Brett Favre all the time. And I think the same thing is the case right now with Kyle Shanahan. Just let him coach this team. See what happens by the end of this year. There's no sense, no need, no, it doesn't make any sense to sort of take the temperature of him and how he's doing every week. Because at the end of the year, I think you'll see all the pluses and minuses, and you'll see if he's doing it right and if he's the guy for the long term for this team.
Got the Rams coming 2-0 off a Super Bowl appearance. Seattle 2-0 playoff appearance. San Francisco 49ers 2-0 with the best point differential in the conference. Is the NFC West the best division in football right now?
I would say today, yes. I would say that. I would not have said that at the beginning of the year. I've been pleasantly surprised by the Seahawks. And, you know, they're going to be one of those teams that can go in a lot of different directions, because I think they may well be in play for Jalen Ramsey. Mm. And if they get Jalen Ramsey, whoever gets Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion, is going to be a win or two better than they would have been. I think he's that good, and I think he's that much of a difference maker. But I think all three of those teams, it goes without saying, are very capable of making the playoffs and winning at least one playoff game. But again, I mean, the 49ers, it's going to be so interesting to watch them because, you know, obviously that wasn't your biggest test of the season, either in Tampa or Cincinnati. But together, winning those games by an average of 19 points and being on the road, being away from home for 10 days, it's funny. Shanahan said something funny. He said by the end of it, he said it felt like we were on Eastern time, that was our correct time zone. We didn't feel like a West Coast team playing early. And if that is the only benefit of staying back east in Youngstown for the week, I think that was a smart thing to do, because then you're not dragging at the start of a game. You should never be dragging at the start of the game if you're a professional athlete in any sport. But human nature does tell you that in time, in history, you know, West Coast teams playing the early game on the East Coast many times have struggled, and they didn't in either place.
Peter, should the 49ers take more interest in Jalen Ramsey?
Yes, but you would have to first, I would first have to know if they were going to chase Jalen Ramsey. You have to ask yourself, you have to really do some fact-finding on Jalen Ramsey, because at times he has been a disruptive guy. And if you trade for him, it's probably going to cost you something in the vicinity of, at best, a 1 and a 2, and maybe 2 1s. And so if you're going to make that trade, you have to know that you're going to sign him long term. And if you're going to sign him long term, you don't want to have a guy who's going to be a jerk on your team. And I don't really know Jalen Ramsey. I had a conversation with him at training camp this year. You'd have to decide whether you think the culture of your team can handle him. I'd be comfortable in Kyle Shanahan handling him. But again, you have to look at the young guys on your team, and you have to look at all the players who you have to sign, you figure are going to be core players for you, who you want to sign long term. And then you have to ask yourself, are we comfortable with Jalen Ramsey making $18 or $20 million a year and what that's going to do to our cap management? And I don't really know the answer to that. I don't know their, you know, what their plans are and who they want to sign and all that. So those are the things I think you'd have to know before you could just blanket say, absolutely, categorically, we want Jalen Ramsey.
How many teams are going to be effectively out of the playoff race at the end of this week? I mean, other than the Jets.
You mean
how
many teams are going to be 0-3, or like Pittsburgh, for instance, be in such a bad injury situation that you cannot envision them in any way making the playoffs?
Correct.
I mean, yeah, I would say, Ray, I'd say there'd be a good core of 10 of those. You know, you can go down the list right now and find at least 10. But in play, like the Giants are not making the playoffs, but I think there's going to be a lot of interest from their fan base. They will show up to watch the Giants play because they want to see the future of their franchise at quarterback. Now, is he going to be the future of the franchise? He better be, or a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. So that's one thing. You know, and there are other teams where you look and you say, like Washington, when they start playing Dwayne Haskins, which at some point this year they probably should, then that fan base is going to be, you know, energized for a little while. So I don't know, other than, and I'd have to look at the list, but, you know, Miami, obviously it's an absolute disaster that, and I don't want to get too, whatever, too emotional or whatever the right word would be, but I think the NFL might have to look at what's happening in Miami because, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, who they just traded to Pittsburgh, first of all, you got a one for him. Let's say it's going to be Pittsburgh, I think is going to be maybe, whatever, 6-10 or something like that. So that's going to be maybe the 8th pick in the draft. All right, so you have to ask yourself this question. If you have the 8th pick in the draft, and Minkah Fitzpatrick was a building block, a nucleus guy for your defense, you're going to be looking to draft somebody just like Minkah Fitzpatrick with that pick that you acquired from Pittsburgh. Or you're going to package it to try to move up to get a quarterback if you don't have the first pick in the draft, which I would think they probably would. But this is an absolute unequivocal tank job to get the best picks in the draft that they can. That's it. There's no disguising it. And what they are doing is, you know, to me, I think football is so different than, say, when the 76ers were tanking or when the Houston Astros were tanking. Say, you tell me if a Miami receiver this week has a crossing route over the middle and Ryan Fitzpatrick throws a ball and he's in traffic, you tell me if this receiver is going to go diving for a football across the middle knowing that he absolutely could get blown up. I wouldn't if I were him. Why are you doing it? You know, you know that your team, that the stated goal, whatever the stated goal is, oh, yeah, we're trying to win. You're not trying to win. You're trying to get the best draft position that you can in 2020, period. You can say you're trying to win, and, of course, the coach is trying to win. But the team as an entity is not trying to win. So I just think right now that is one of the worst. This is one of the worst things. I've never seen this in all my years of covering football where, you know, you follow trading your best offensive lineman right before the start of the season. After two games, you trade one of your two best defensive players, you know, along with Xavien Howard. You've already traded your number two wide receiver in Kenny Stills. It's, you know, I mean, there's no of course, you're in the best draft position that anybody in recent history has been in. And so that's fine. but it is the middle of September, and you have less than no hope.
Yeah, my
you're not going 0-16. You're going 0-20.
My worry is that the NFL, which is the ultimate copycat league, Peter, if Miami is looking at a much better team improved in the 2021-2022 season because they tanked to get there, this might become a trend. I mean, you know, the next general manager will say, well, we need to do that too now.
I agree totally. I agree totally. So, in other words, if that's the case, if people are going to say that, what's the NFL going to do about it? The only solution, in my opinion, and I hate this, I really hate this, is a draft lottery. I don't like it at all, because this is the first time that I truly think, since I've been covering the league, that a team is trying to get the first pick in the draft badly rather than trying to win games. And so, you know, you look at it and you say, there's all this code language for this. Well, we want to give our team, we want to, Chris Greer, the general manager, talked today. And look, I understand he is under orders to build the best team long-term that he can build. I get it. Okay? And the best team long-term has to start with either Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert or whoever the best young quarterback is going to be after this season. But just ask yourself this question. I mean, what precedent, and I totally agree with you, what precedent are you setting for the next few years in the NFL? The commissioner needs to be cognizant of this, and the competition committee needs to be cognizant of this too.
Always a pleasure to talk a little football with you, Peter. Real quick on the way out the door, I know they just got clobbered by a much better and superior Kansas City team, but the Raiders would have rolled over and died and lost that game by 50 a year ago. I think they're a lot better, even though they just got clocked.
You know, they are a lot better. And Patrick Mahomes is going to do what he did to the Raiders in the second quarter. He's going to do that to a lot of teams in his career. He's going to embarrass a lot of defensive backs in his career. I thought about this, and I wrote it the other day in my column, and I had to take a deep breath and think about it for a minute. But you know, since I've been covering the NFL in 1984, I do not remember a quarterback who has come in and from the moment he started starting, he was a dominant player and an explosive player the way that Patrick Mahomes is. Everybody has had some growing pains, like right away. But it's almost like Patrick Mahomes has walked into football. And whoever walks in and is the best player in football, the day he starts playing,
he showed up as a finished product.
You can't tell me that since opening day 2018, there's no argument about who the best player in football is since opening day 2018. I just find this guy to be absolutely amazing. And so, therefore, if I'm John Gruden, I walk off that field and tip my hat to the guy and say, we're trying to build a team that's going to be able to compete with you in the next few years. That is our whole goal. And they did okay, with the exception, obviously, of the second quarter. I don't know who is going to play the Chiefs any better over four quarters, really, right now, than the Raiders did the other day.
Peter, thank you so much. A real pleasure, as always. Talk to you again next week.
Thanks a lot.